everything. Jesus is just here tonight. You know, but before I begin, the Lord, with everything that has happened in Iraq, you know how the United States gave the Iraqis weaponry. They gave the Iraqis tanks and all kinds of weapons to defend themselves with. And you know, but when they saw the enemy coming, what did they do? They dropped their weapons and fled. And then you kind of get angry on the inside and say, Lord, why did they do that? They had all the equipment. They had maybe even greater firepower than they did. They had even the United States to back them up if they would have taken the initiative to defend themselves. Why did they do that, Lord? You kind of get angry and you begin to judge and criticize. Oh, how that was so cowardly. And then the Holy Spirit said to me, not so fast. Not so fast, son. For you and many others in the church have done the exact same thing. And it's Eric went over it right now, and he says in Ephesians chapter 6, it says, put on the whole armor of God. Right? Well, they were armed and they were able to defend themselves. But you know what's more devastating? Is that when we, just Eric was talking about, when we don't stand our ground and fight the good fight of faith as Christians, oh, there is serious, serious consequences. And so when I see the images on the television and on the internet as I watch and read the news about what's going on in Iraq and all the Christians and non-Christians who are suffering because the Iraqi army fled, those are the consequences. But if you flip that around over to the spiritual, the same thing happens with us. And it's like the Lord saying, wow. He says, I said, wow, Lord, thank you for opening my eyes. We are to put on the armor and stand. In fact, let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. Let's read that part. We have an unction on the inside of us, or an anointing on the inside of us. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, it says, or verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, and against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. There is so much consequences if we don't do this. I mean, your family might lose out. Your family might get attacked. Your person might get attacked. You don't have the armor on. You took off your armor and fled. Just like when the Israelites saw Goliath come. And Goliath would come and threaten and make fun of the living God. And all the Israeli army would flee and run and hide behind their tents. But there was an anointed shepherd called David. And it was through that anointing. You know, it's like he had it all along. Just like we have it all along. So he knew who he was. He knew that the Lord was with him. You know, and the consequences of us not standing and fighting the good fight of faith, it's just horrendous. You know, you see that in Iraq. It's just horrendous. What's going on over there? And then the Lord said to me, the very exact same thing happens when the church does not walk in the fullness of their armor. They get attacked and attacked and attacked again and attacked again because of fear. You know, we just cannot get away from the power of the Holy Spirit. I've had so much, as you have had much experiences with the Holy Ghost. I'm sure of it. I know of it. I've seen it. Even in this church, in our church, I've seen many, many demonstrations of the power of the Holy Spirit. When the praise and worship team is singing praises and worshiping, when the congregation is worshiping the Lord. I seen the power of the Holy Spirit in manifestation here. I seen Pastor Calvin Scott and Barbara preach under the unction of the Holy Spirit. I've seen Mitch and Nina preach. I've seen Eric and Denise preach under the power. I've seen Brother Raymond and others, Bill and Connie, Becky. All of us have been under the power of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The power has come upon us, and it has just been powerful. And we're just fully armed. We're fully clothed. And then we go about our business. When suddenly, at work, you hear music in the background. It's like the Jaws movie. And we step back. Oh, my God. What happened to the power? Well, the Bible says we are to continue to be filled with the Holy Spirit and be clothed with the Holy Spirit. You know, because the consequences are just too great. There's people at your work, at school, everywhere you go who are depending on you. It's amazing. It's amazing. You know, they don't know how fortunate they are to have you right where you are, standing in the gap, believing God for them, praying for them. They don't know how fortunate they are to be under the protection of the Holy Ghost. They may not know it yet, but on the inside, they feel something about you. They just know it on the inside. There's something peculiar about you, if you will. What does peculiar mean? Strange, odd. I think it also means belonging solely to. You belong to Jesus. You're sons and daughters of the Most High God. And you have an anointing on the inside of you called the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, I'm going to send you another counselor. I'm not going to leave you orphans. You're not alone. He's your teacher. He's your advocate. He's your standby. He's always there teaching you and guiding you. You're not alone. Never alone. However, our flesh feels alone, doesn't it? In our thinking, sometimes we may feel betrayed even by coworkers and God only knows what else, what happens to you at work. You know, as I know what happens. We have a power, and that's the Holy Ghost. You know, we just can't get away from that. And you shouldn't ever get away from the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. Yes, I know that the word Trinity is not in the Bible, but you can't get away from the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And there are three, but there are one. But you know, the person of the Holy Spirit is always on the inside. He is so wonderful. He has led me and guided me through many trials and tribulation, as He has you. He has led you. He has counseled you. In your most critical moment, He is right there counseling you. He even causes other brothers or even people who are not even Christians to come your path to counsel you. The Holy Spirit, you know, I've had so many experiences with the Holy Spirit. He has allowed me to have visions. He has led me into a town called Hecate to begin a work there for the glory of God. He is just so wonderful. And even, you know, when we were led of the Holy Ghost. You know, Jesus was led of the Holy Ghost to the desert. After He was baptized, the Holy Spirit came upon Him. And He was led, the Bible says, of the Holy Ghost into the wilderness or to the desert to be tempted of the devil. You know, a lot of times we think that we're going through things because we did something wrong or because you just never know why you're going through something. But God expects us to respond the same way, in the power of His might and the power of His word. And as we were led into this town called Hecate, Sonora, as I look back at that, it doesn't cease to amaze me the attacks and the temptations that we suffered, my wife and I. The criticisms, the betrayals, amazing. The threatenings, the witchcrafts, you name it, just on and on and on. And you think, wait a minute, I thought I had the greater one on the inside of me. And I'm a spirit-filled child of God, and I have the anointing of the Holy Ghost that is upon me. Why am I going through these tests and trials? Jesus went through them too. He went through them, and he passed every single one of them. You know, I believe, well, the Bible says that Jesus is the apostles of the apostles. He's the apostle. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. Jesus had the anointing here on this earth as a man without measure. But listen to what I'm going to say now. Listen to this. I believe, yes, the Bible says that we have the anointing of the Holy Spirit with measure. But if God has called you into a particular office to do what God has called you to do, I believe in that particular calling, you have the fullness thereof to do it. In that particular calling, but nothing else. You understand what I'm saying? Not in all like Jesus had it, but in your particular calling. No one can do it better than you can in your particular calling. I have gotten so much trouble in the past trying to do things that are not my calling. But when I get over into what I know is my calling, I can see the fullness of it. I can see the power of it. The Holy Ghost is so precious. He is so precious. He was with me when I was a young child. How do I know this? The Holy Spirit has brought this to my memory. Yes, I was brought up Catholic. But you see, I was one of those kids that was a praying child. And when I prayed with a whole heart. And the Holy Spirit has brought that to my memory, how the Holy Spirit was with me. Even in those when I was such a young babe, just a little boy, you know, the Holy Spirit was with me. The Holy Spirit has been with you. But there's something that is called fear, that sometimes we are tempted to drop the very equipment that the Lord has equipped you with to fight on. Just like the Iraqi army. The Iraqi army fled in the hopes that the enemy were going to just leave them alone. Oh, just let them do what they want to do. Maybe they'll just leave us alone. But you know, the devil does not work that way. Just like Pastor Eric said a minute ago, you stand your ground. You stand your ground and fight with the equipment the Lord has given you with. In the office he has called you to stand in, you continue to stand. Only be careful not to do someone else's job. Just do yours. Do you understand that? Yes or no? Let's go to Acts. I got to read this to you before I even begin. What I just said now just was in my heart. But what I want to talk about is the anointing, the Holy Spirit upon us, the equipment, the power. And in Acts chapter, I guess, I don't remember where is it. Acts chapter 4. Yes, Acts chapter 4, verse 17 says, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God." I'm reading the New King James Version, or just the King James Version. "And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy." See, the Holy Spirit has already been poured out. When Jesus says, "I am not going to leave you orphans, but I shall send the Holy Spirit, the other counselor. I'm going to send him to you. He is the sent one. He is the Holy Ghost. He is with you always." But listen to what I'm going to tell you now. Just by me telling you that he is with you, how can I say this? Does not mean that you know that he is with you. There is a revelation knowledge, which I like to call a knowing on the inside. I don't know what else to call it. Just, you know, that you know, that you know. Kind of like when I come up here and stand behind this pulpit. It is an honor and a privilege to be up here in front of you. Hey, I humble myself before the Father and before you. It's not about me, but I just know. It's a knowing on the inside that every time I step up in the power of His might and in the anointing of the Holy Ghost, I just know He's with me. And when He gives me a word to say, a lot of times when I get up here, I only have one verse of Scripture and not even a completed one. But because I obey the call, because of the knowing I have on the inside, and I, through obedience, come forward and say that word, before I finish saying that word, this thing called, the way I can best describe it, annoying on the inside of me, gives me another word to say. And then when I say that one, He gives me another word to say. And then He gives me another and yet another. And then He brings to my memory past experiences I've had with the Holy Ghost. This is what I love about the Holy Spirit. Not only does He cause you to pray in the Holy Ghost when someone's in need, but He'll bring to you, to your remembrance, the Bible, the Word that you have studied down through the years. And when I've seen these people in Iraq suffering, the Holy Spirit on the inside of me, and then the Holy Spirit that's upon me, my spirit on the inside just breaking apart. And I don't even have the words to say it. But when I see those images of those children and women and young people, I saw a young man that looked very much like my son Ivan. And I didn't have the words for it. But the Holy Spirit within me, and then the anointing that is upon me, the word just rolled out of my spirit and through my tongue. And I began to pray in the Holy Ghost. Father, and just praying and interceding for them in the power of the Holy Ghost. That is the unction on the inside. That is the anointing on the outside. And it's most powerful. That is putting on the armor of the Holy Spirit. That is putting on the armor of God and standing in the gap for other people. It just breaks my heart. And then the Lord continues to remind me as to how I've done the same thing those Iraqi soldiers have done. And then He said to me, as I meditated on this, hey, my body, the church, has done that many, many times. Remember how the Bible says that the Holy Spirit, the earth was without void and just there was a nothingness on the earth? But the Holy Spirit was going to and fro, just waiting for that word from God. Listen to what I'm saying now. The Holy Spirit was going to and fro, waiting for that word from God to act. To act on that word. To act with mighty power. And when God said, let there be light, the Holy Spirit acted. When we speak forth the word of God, the Holy Spirit acts. You know, a lot of people call the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles. Well, I like to call it the Acts of the Holy Ghost. Because Jesus said, the works that I do, the Father who is in me does the works. Now, mind you, that Jesus said that when He was here on this earth. The man, Jesus said that, our example. He said, the Father that is in me does the works. And when the Father says to you by the Holy Ghost to say a certain word, the Holy Spirit acts. He just does. It's not that we did anything. Just like Jesus was our example. He through obedience, just said what the Father said and did what He saw the Father do so that the Holy Ghost could act with power. Amen. And I've repented so many times for not obeying His call. When He says, do, and I don't. When he says say and I don't say it, many times I just repent. It hit me really hard when I meditated on what happened in Iraq. That army leaving all their weaponry and the equipment they had to defend themselves. And oh, I was so quick to judge. Just look at these women and children and elderly people. Oh, but the Holy Spirit on the inside, he got to me. And let's see, what do I have here? How do I do this? I talk too much, don't I? Sometimes we're in bed, my wife and I, at night, and I talk a lot. God tells me something in the Word, and I'm just talking and talking and talking. And my wife says, mi amor, ya estoy cansada. Ya me voy a dormir. My love, I'm tired. I have to go to sleep now. But you can go on talking if you want to. But yeah, you know, I am not and never have been a very sophisticated person. And I will admit, I guess I am an emotional person. I'm getting over that. I'm trying to. I think it's the Italian part of me. I don't know if you know, but Serato is Italian. No, a Mexican with an Italian name, right? And the other day we were watching a movie, and it was about these two old guys. They're boxers, you see. And one of those Italian guys, I said, my God, when he makes that ugly face, it kind of reminds me of mine when I do those. I forget his name. What's that guy's name? I don't remember. Oh, anyway. But let me share with you some more before we get into some verses of Scripture. You're probably thinking, well, isn't this guy going to use the Bible at least? let's see what I have here. You know, when Jesus said to the disciples, there I go again. Oh boy. When Jesus said to the disciples, go to Jerusalem in the book of Acts and wait for the promise of the Father. He did not say, go to Jerusalem and wait so that you may be born again. Because you see in John chapter 20, he appeared to them, right? And then he appeared to the disciples and he breathed on them, right? And I believe that's where they received their salvation. But later he said, go on to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father. He said, wait for the Holy Spirit. He said, go on and wait for the Holy Spirit. Of course, they didn't know. He said, just go and wait for the promise of the Father. And so they went, right? And what happened? Well, they received it. What did they receive? They were endued with power from on high after the Holy Ghost came upon them. You see, they already had the Holy Ghost on the inside of them. But you have to understand that the Holy Ghost on the inside of you has caused you to be born again. Your human spirit was renewed, brand new. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Your human spirit has been recreated in the image of God. It's just, he's in there. You have an unction on the inside of you. The Holy Spirit came on the inside of you when you were born again. And I believe that on the inside of you, like Mitch talked about it on Sunday, there is a certain character of the Holy Spirit. And we all know them. The characters of the Holy Spirit, or the fruits of the Spirit, as the Bible says, we can call them character of the Holy Spirit, is love, joy, peace, meekness, you know, and all that. There has to be a balance because, oh boy, what am I trying to say here? There has to be a balance. In other words, you have been born again. However, that does not mean that you're walking in holiness. You have been born again, yes. Your name has been written in the book, in the Lamb's book of life in heaven, yes. However, that does not mean that you're walking in holiness, in the character of the Holy Spirit, in the fruits of the Spirit, in love, joy, and peace, etc., meekness, and all that. That comes after you renew your mind with the Bible, right? And praying, and just seeking the Lord. And it just changes you on the inside. But when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, that is a whole different story. I remember when I was in Bible school, and I was praying in tongues. I was already baptized, and I had been endued with the power of the Holy Ghost. But there was this young man, you see, that did not pray in tongues yet. And he came up and he had to preach for a good 20 minutes or so, 25 to 30. And then it was my turn. And we would just take turns. But when he got back there, and I would say to myself, Lord, how is he going to preach if he's not, if he doesn't have the Holy Spirit upon him? Oh, but when he began to preach, he struggled at first. But you can see it. There was an evidence. You could see it, something like, I don't know what, you couldn't see it with the natural eye. But you can not only see it on his body and in his face begin to glow, but you could see something that happened. As he got towards the middle of his sermon, suddenly there was a power present. And there was an evidence there that he had been anointed from above. And when that anointing from on high, the Holy Spirit came upon him, there was no denying that the words that came out of his mouth came forth with power in the acts of the Holy Ghost. There is an evidence. He didn't speak in tongues yet. Later he did. But I believe right there he was baptized. Even though he didn't pray in tongues immediately, but I believe that he received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There was no denying it. The words that came out of his mouth were just heavenly and most powerful. And it touched and penetrated the hearts, even to the dividing of spirit, soul, and mind. He's just the power of God just penetrated with that sword of the Spirit, that rhema word. See, there was an evidence there. This kid was born again. But when the Holy Spirit came, there was no denying. Do you understand what I'm saying? You see, there has to be a balance, though. You have to, you know, you just can't have the power and not walk in holiness. Because that can get you into deep, 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 everyone say deep, trouble. You remember Samson? We all know this. We all know the story of Samson, right? Well, this guy, he had an anointing upon him. He didn't live a holy life, but he had power upon him, right? And he fell because of living an unholy life. See, the devil was after his equipment. The devil wanted to know where he got his power from. He wanted to know what his weakness was so that he can destroy him. Just like the Iraqi army. Sure, I'm sure they saw them coming, and maybe they had a word that they were more than they were, and it's probably all lies because the devil's a liar. That they have this and they have some kind of chemical weapons and they all feared and fled. But this guy was messing around, as you know, and his girlfriend Delilah betrayed him. But what gets me is this guy knew about it. Three times he's made her tie him up, and every time the guys would come in, he's bound, he's got no power. They would come, you say, you know the story, and he would break free. But he gave away his equipment. He gave away his equipment, his armor. See, that's why it's dangerous for us Christians to live just in the power of his might and the anointing upon and not live a holy life. Because eventually, it'll catch up with you. Amen? So we all know that, right? Okay, Reuben, get on with it. Amen, okay. So Jesus, well, I think I already said that. I said that too. Go to Acts chapter 7, verse 44. I thought when I read this, it was most interesting. Acts 7, 44. This is what I'm talking about, having an evidence, a witness present. And in Acts chapter 7, 44, it says, just the first part of it, our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the desert. Well, this word witness means evidence. He said, Paul said that our fathers had a tabernacle of witness in the desert. You see, the Holy Spirit never left them either. But you must understand that they were not born again. They had God in the middle of them, in the midst of them. They had to sacrifice animals, different all kinds of animals to cover their sins only. You see, they were not born again. The ultimate sacrifice hadn't been given yet, which we all know is Jesus. So they had a tabernacle of witness, of power. They had fire at night that would light up the night sky for so they can have light and they can be warm at night. In the daytime, they had a cloud that would cover them so that they would not be burned from the sun. They had manna that came down from heaven on a daily basis. They had a witness. They had an evidence whereby they can say, hey, God's on our side. You see? Acts chapter 10, 38 says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good. Doing good. See, doing good deeds is all right, I guess. But what did Jesus do? He went, when he meant doing good, he healed all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. John 14, 10 says, Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, Jesus said. But the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the work. Listen, Jesus the man, Nina, Ramon, my wife, we're human beings who have been born again. And Jesus says we have the Father on the inside of us. He didn't say only I have the Father. No, he is our example. We have the Father on the inside of us. You know, it doesn't cease to amaze me that every time I see something happen, like I remember one time, I think I was driving along the road, and this accident almost occurred right in front of me. I was safe, but the people in the other car were surely going to be dead or killed. But the first thing that came out of my heart, not out of my mind, was, Father! It's always been that way with me. I don't know if about you, but it just comes out of my spirit and through my mouth. And I begin to intercede by the power and the acts of the Holy Ghost. As the Father gives me words to speak, then the Holy Spirit acts. Just like when the Holy Spirit was going to and fro through the whole earth. Amen? And so, but we have good news. Don't we? I'm sure you all know where I'm going with this. We also have a tabernacle. What is it? What is the tabernacle we have? Is it in the middle of us like they had in the desert? Or is it? I'm not going to continue to answer. That's not the word I'm looking for. Yeah. Our tabernacle is our body. That's the tabernacle of God the Father now. See, when Jesus was on the cross, and when he said, it is finished, that big curtain rent in two, and no more does the Father dwell in temples made with unholy hands or corrupt hands, right? But he dwells in temples, which is his body. Jesus is the head, and we are the body. We have a tabernacle. And this tabernacle also has the evidence, the witness of the Holy Spirit. What does Acts chapter 1, 8 says? But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses. Power to witness. You have the very evidence of the acts of the Holy Ghost. Woo-hoo-hoo! That's good news. Oh, God. Isn't that powerful? Isn't that good news? That to me is just like, we have a tabernacle too. And it's a much better one at that. It's like automatic, you know, you don't have to carry it, you know, on your shoulder. You just carry yourself with the grace of God and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And you obey, right? I believe we all obey. Amen. But you shall receive power. Jesus didn't say, hey, I want you to go to Jerusalem and be born again. No, I want you to go to Jerusalem and wait for this promise. I want you to go to Jerusalem and wait for this promise, this counselor. I want you to go there and get and be endued with this power. You need it. You need it. You need it. Just being born again is not enough. You need this power. You need this equipment. You need the equipment to answer to the call and do the call that the Lord has placed in your life. You need the equipment. You have to put it on by faith and walk by faith in it. Just like the example I gave earlier. Sometimes the Lord gives me a word to speak, but I have to walk forward and give it by faith in obedience. Hey, sometimes I miss it, but most of the time I don't. You know, you just get better as you go. For we go from glory to glory. Amen. We just do. Hallelujah. You're awfully quiet. That's okay. I'm quiet too, you know. Okay. Yeah. Amen. What was I talking about? Oh, yes. Yes, Lord. I'll continue. I have to skip a few notes here. It's already 8 o'clock. But you see, the kids aren't out yet, so you'll be okay. I already said that. 1 John 2:20, I already said that too. The Holy Spirit is our helper, our comforter, our counselor, our intercessor, our advocate, our strengthener, our standby power, power when you need it. Amen. And skip a few more pages here. So the anointing within, you have it. The anointing upon, if you don't have it, you can have it if you want it. The anointing upon, we just went through Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Let's go to Luke chapter 9, verse 1. Let me save my place here. Luke chapter 9, verse 1. Let's see what it says. Luke 9, verse 1 says this. Was it Luke 9? Don't remember. Yeah, this is Luke 9. Luke 9, verse 1, then he called, then Jesus called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Verse 6, skip down to verse 6. And they departed and went through town preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Just everywhere. Chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verse, 19 and 20 says, Jesus said, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, those are demons, you know, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Amen. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirit are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Amen. That's us. That is you. That is me. And we have been endued with some power here. All we have to do is learn how to use it. How? In the measure of faith that the Lord has given you to do. You might say, well, what is it? I don't know. Well, if you seek the Lord, I guarantee you, you seek His face in the Word, He'll let you know. He'll send a messenger to you. Get this, anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power. And He'll give you words whereby you will say, hey, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for that word. Amen? He just works that way. He does. He does. Guess what I'm trying to say is that we need to learn to yield to the Holy Ghost. I've been so fortunate. I've been so blessed. Because when I, in 1994, the only translator we had in our Bible school was leaving. She was moving to North Carolina because she got married. And so Pastor Calvin put Bobby Scott as the translator. And he did a great job. And I was sitting there on the benches, and I said, well, Bobby would say, well, Reuben, you're going to have to take over because I'm going to have to leave. You live in Mexico now, but I don't. And he would continue and continue. And then I would say to myself, hey, wait a minute here. I'm a Mexican, and he's a gringo. How can he translate and I can't? But when, lo and behold, I could not do it as good as he could. It took many, many years to get as good as Bobby. But you know what? What I meant to say is this. So fortunate to translate for men and women, powerful men and women, anointed men and women, called men and women, you name it, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers. I've had the opportunity to translate and stand side by side and learn to move with them. I've got so good at it that I will just translate as one person up there under the unction and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. So many experiences, so many miracles, so many healings. The greatest of all is the salvation. So many people filled with the Holy Ghost. Just so many people blessed. The acts of the Holy Spirit when the preaching is of the Father. Eric spoke on it earlier. Fresh manna, fresh bread. It's most powerful. I remember one time that, you see, I there he goes again. In here, it's just a knowing on the inside. That he's here. He's with you. He's with me. It's just I don't have the words for it. Just the knowing on the inside. I remember one time that I was invited to preach in this, right here in Agua Prieta, many years ago. And the pastor invited me to his church because no one in his church preached in other tongues. I mean, prayed in other tongues. There's only one elderly lady that prayed in tongues. And so I went over there and preached on the Holy Spirit. And in the acts of the Holy Spirit, just like I'm doing now, but a different word. But on the inside of me, I had, this is what I like to call, just a knowing on the inside of me. And when I got done with the message that the Father God gave me to preach to these wonderful people, my brothers and sisters, I asked everyone who would like to pray in other tongues, come forward. Well, I had 18 people come forward, except for that one elderly lady that was back there praying tongues for me. Guess what happened? I had this knowing. Don't answer me. I had this knowing, and I had these 18 people, men, women, and children. And I said, Lord, I just know on the inside that all these people are supposed to pray in other tongues. I just know it. So I led them through it. And I give them instructions. When I lay my hands on your head, I want you to speak in other tongues. And I don't want you to say a word in Spanish. And if you speak English, I don't want to hear a word in English. So I got in front of them and began to pray. Asked the Father, Father, you said that you would send us another comforter. And these beloved brothers and sisters, they want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. So I began on this side and began to pray. And I gave him a whole bunch of instructions before I did this, you see. And I prayed for the first one. Nothing happened. Prayed for the second. Nothing happened. All the way down the line, I went. And they didn't have no music. So it was just quiet. No background music. No nothing. You know. I didn't want the pastor to play his guitar because it was too funky. You know, it was not good. And nothing happened. And so I said, Father, I know on the inside of me who I am. This is part of my ministry. I know that when I lay my hands on these people, they're going to speak in other tongues. And I went again. I think I started from this end this time. Prayed for all of them again. Guess what happened? Nothing. Nada. What was it in German? Zilch? No, I'm sorry. Nothing. But on the inside of me, there was no doubt. I was not moved by what I saw, nor by what the devil was telling me on the inside. I was prepared. I was fully clothed and had my armor on. I had my equipment ready. I knew on the inside. And I said, Lord, what am I doing wrong? And he said, well, you're praying for the wrong one. I want you to pray for this one first. I said, wow, really? That way? And I did. I went to this certain person. I think it was a lady who I believe was around 30 years old. And I'm getting goosebumps already. And I placed my hand upon her and I said, "You be baptized now and you begin to pray in other tongues now." Guess what happened? Nothing. And I put my hand on her again and then I began to pray in other tongues. I prayed in other tongues when suddenly she just, her lips began to flutter, like kind of like an invisible finger. Like God was going like this to her mouth or something. I'm not kidding you. The power of the anointing was all over. The evidence, the witness, the act of the Holy Spirit was upon her. And she began to pray in other tongues. And boy, did she break forth and speak in other tongues. And after that, I just followed the leading of the Holy Ghost. Didn't go to my right. I went to my left. One after another. And they were all baptized. All 17 of them. Except for the pastor's wife. Could not get her to speak. Because she had unbelief in her heart. But 17 people, men, women, and children, were praying in other tongues. It was the most powerful service I believe that church has ever had. But that's not the only time that's happened. I didn't do anything. You see, it's the act of the Holy Spirit. He said, "You'll receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." You see, it's according to how He wants to lead you. You don't go by what you see. You are led on the inside. Jesus said, "I only do what I see the Father do." Jesus said, "I only say what I hear my Father say." And on the inside, this knowing on the inside, I just did what the Father told me to do. And it just broke forth in the power of the Holy Ghost. Kenneth Hagin had a vision. He had many visions. I've had visions. And I didn't finish, by the way. I'm sorry. He said he had a few visitations from Jesus himself. He says that he wanted all his children to pray in the Holy Ghost. Why? Because it's the promise of the Father. No, it's just not an experience you're going to have. No, it's the promise of the Father. Just like when the Father promises his daughter something. And you love your daughter and your son so much. But sometimes children don't want the promise of their fathers. And it just breaks their father's heart. "But son, but daughter, I wanted to give you this." And it just breaks the father's heart when his children do not want to receive his promise. The blessing for their lives. "But son, this is going to make you much better. It's like an advantage you'll have." Stand at your feet. It's only 8:15. I was going to go to 9, but some of us have to work in the morning. No, I'm kidding. Let's just pray in the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Nina. Let's just pray in the Holy Ghost. If you don't pray in the Holy Ghost, that's okay. Just but remember, God wants to bless you. And if you want to pray in the Holy Ghost, come forward. It's for you. It's for your family. Remember what we read in Acts? "I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh." I'm just going to pour it out on all flesh. And it's there. I promised you I would do this. I promised you. And it's most powerful. Father, in the name of Jesus. Oh, glory, glory, glory. The Bible says that sometimes we don't know how to pray as we ought to pray, but the Holy Spirit helps us in our infirmities. In other words, in our weaknesses, in our struggles, in our battles, He helps you and leads you into that spiritual prayer. See, we in our English language, in our Spanish language or whichever language you may speak upon this earth. We're limited. We're quick to run out of words to speak and to say. Oh, but when the Holy Spirit and you begin to pray in your most holy faith, the anointing, you pray out the perfect will of the Father in every circumstance, in every situation of your life. And not only that, that I'm sure as you prayed in the Holy Ghost, you have prayed for your brothers and sisters in the Lord, not knowing you were praying for them. So I know in my heart that you have prayed for me, and I know in my heart that I have prayed for you. As you pray in the Holy Ghost, not only do you pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ, but you pray for the ones who are needing protection. You pray for the ones who are needing salvation. Father, in Jesus' name, you begin to do the will of the Father. You begin to do the will of Jesus Christ, who is at the right hand of the Father, which his ministry now is interceding, standing in the gap, praying. That's our master. That's our teacher. That's our example. He wants you praying in the Holy Ghost. You don't know what to pray for. You don't know how to pray. But if you begin to pray in the Holy Ghost, he'll begin to give you the interpretation. And you'll know exactly how to pray for a situation. Paul said, I will pray with my understanding. And I'll pray in the Spirit. I will sing with my understanding. And I will sing in the Spirit. I will pray in the most holy faith. And I will sing in my most holy faith. Thank you for the witness, Father. Thank you for our tabernacle. For we're not alone. We have a witness. We have the evidence. Not only do we speak in other tongues, but we have other evidence of your power. Thank you, Father. All of us have had testimonies as to how you've healed our loved ones. How have you set us free from situations, some of the most dangerous situations. How have you taken us out of financial situations. Invitation is still here. If you want to pray in other tongues, come forward. It's for you. Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Father God is a person. Jesus, we know, of course, also is a person. All of which have feelings. If you need prayer for anything else, if you're going through some trouble, if you're going through frustration, if you're going through depression, if you're going through loneliness, if you're going through whatever it may be that's holding you back, that's causing you not to read your Bible, that's causing you not to pray as you ought. If your body is aching, if you have sickness in your body, whatever it may be, Holy Spirit wants to act on your behalf. Oh, let the Holy Spirit act on your behalf. Isimrobo Om namamaramo norobo Oh alleluia marabo sinroba mamana. The angels of heaven are here too. Isn't that amazing? The angels sinroba marobo Isom nimramo rabani narabo Oh, hallelujah, Rabo, Rabo, Sin, Rabo. The angel, Sin, Rabo, Rabo. Jesus, Father, I pray for each person here, Father. Let it be so now, Lord. Let it be so now, Lord. Father, that if they desire to be baptized, or if they have not been praying in tongues as they ought, let it be so now that even as they go to bed tonight, that in their very sleep, they shall break forth and speak in other tongues. As they sleep tonight, Father, let them break forth. Let it be so now in Jesus' name that they break forth and speak in another tongues. My wife, Maria Luisa, before she even spoke in tongues, in the natural, she was speaking it in the spirit. For one night, she prayed in other tongues in her sleep. For the greater one, the anointing, the power that she was hoping, that she was desiring for, was there all along. See, Her spirit man just broke forth and began to pray. Her human recreated spirit that's born again just broke forth and prayed in other tongues. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Yes, Father. Just go forth. Go forth in the power of His might and enter into the rest of the Lord. Some of us want to continue to work when He's already done all the work. But the Bible, I think the Lord's saying this right now. I believe it in my heart to be so. Enter into His rest. He's not saying to quit your job. No, you have to continue to work. But He's saying you go in the peace of God, for He has done all the work already. You don't have to worry about your finances. You don't have to worry about your co-workers. You don't have to worry about none of that. Just enter into His rest. Enter in, for He's already done all the work. Rest. Rest in the Holy Ghost. Rest. Be at peace. Go forth in peace and rest. Enter into the rest of the Lord. Fret not. Fret not. Don't be frustrated. Do not be angry. Just rest. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. That's all I have. Unless Brother Ramon wants to talk. Give a tap in. No, I'm kidding. That's all I have, brothers and sisters. I love you, and I know you love me too. Okay? The acts of the Holy Ghost. Just allow it to happen. Amen? God bless you. For you have a tabernacle, and you have a witness. You have evidence. Amen? God bless you. Good night. Amen.